Yeah, amen. You may be seated. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your love, your goodness. We thank you that you are our teacher. We thank you for your protective hand over Adam and his accident, and that, Lord, that we just pray you just continue, that there's not any residuals there, and just thank you that he and Katie and the family can be away. And so just your hand upon them, we thank you for that. And I pray, God, you would just anoint me with your Spirit, that I could just speak words of the Spirit, and each heart would be open to receive from the Spirit. And so we just thank you, God, for your goodness. And Lord, you really speak to us today, and I pray that we could take these words that you say home with us and just embrace them, Lord, and just have a confidence as we go forward. And so I just pray a special blessing over what you have to say in your Scripture, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're looking at Luke again. So we've been in Luke for a while. So we're in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. And we'll start there. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 says this. And this is Jesus. And Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. As I was preparing for this week and just, you know, trying to understand it and, you know, seeing what the Lord would have to say, this morning, for some reason, it just kept coming to mind, this picture, and so I'll just share it with you. You know, I think maybe there's a purpose for that. But I just had this picture as the Lord was, like when he's telling giving us this information at prayer, it's almost like I had this picture that we were at the kitchen table with him. And he had just sitting down the other side of the kitchen table, and we're there. And he said, let me tell you about prayer. I just want to give you some insight about prayer, and I'll just have a little discussion, because this is going to be very encouraging. That's how I felt that this parable was meant to be. He said, I'm trying to give you some understanding about prayer, and I want it really encouraging to you. So anyway, so that's how it came across to me, all right? So I think if you just picture yourself at the kitchen table, and Jesus says, let me tell you some things here. And so what he's doing, he's talking about prayer, and, you know, prayer is communicating with God, talking with God, and he's telling us about the reality of prayer. And so he tells us this story. Now, Jesus knows there is great power in prayer. So Jesus knows this. He knows there's great power in prayer. In fact, I have an overhead here. I want you to look at this. In James 5:16, it says this. And I put, just as James 5:16, this is the literal translation. When you look how it's originally written, this is how the words fall in place, okay? And to me, it's just profound. And it says this in James 5:16. The prayer of a righteous person. Now, who's righteous? Those who've accepted Christ as their Savior. He declares us righteous because he paid the penalty for our sins, became sin for us. So we're righteous. So that's us. Now, he wants us to act like we're righteous, but we are righteous by definitions because we have nothing held against us. So the prayer of a righteous person is great power working. Now, think about that. The prayer of a righteous person, those who believe on the Lord Jesus, is great power working. Think about that. So Jesus says, let me tell you about prayer. It's important you do this. It's important you do this. It's important you always pray and do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. So he's telling us that because it is great power working. So to tell us this, he tells us this story. And so he communicates this truth, and he paints a picture, and this picture he's painting so we can understand it. Amen? That's the reason. Jesus has all this information in his head, you know, in spirit, and he communicates. But every once in a while, a lot of times, he paints a picture so we can see the picture, so we can get our arms around it. So he's communicating. That's what he's doing now. He's trying to help us get our arms around prayer and the power of prayer. And what he uses, and you just follow me here, I don't have an overhead for these verses. So here's the story. You're at the coffee table, and so he says, let me tell you about prayer, why you should always pray and never lose heart. It's like, and he says this, it's like in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God or respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. So here you have the man, the judge, that he doesn't respect man or he doesn't fear God, then you have in society the weakest person, a widow, okay, by definition being that society, the weakest person coming to the judge. So you have this discrepancy. Judge doesn't care, and one of the least important who really needs help. So that's how he sets this whole thing up. And so as we see this, she keeps coming again, okay, she keeps coming to him and saying, give me justice. And it's very interesting as I was looking at this, the words keeps coming, and I thought, I don't know why I checked on this, but I'm glad I did, but I looked up, and it has a very interesting meaning. And it really means she kept coming, and it means that she came forward and it said this, I am come and am here. She come from the judge, stand before the judge. I am come, I am here, like every day. You know, she kept coming, but I mean, she is making her presence known. I am come, I am here. Now, we're going to see that her persistence has an impact on this unjust judge. Her persistence has an impact. Now, look closely at this verse. Now, Jesus is telling you the story, okay? He's telling us the story about prayer. Now, look at this, Luke 18, 4 through 5. For a while, the judge refused. I don't want to deal with you. For a while, the judge refused. But afterward, he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet, because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continually coming. What was she doing? I am come and am here. All right? She showed up. I'm thinking she showed up every day. Now, so we see something very interesting is Jesus is telling something about prayer. And the judge acknowledges in this statement, you see the judge acknowledging that he doesn't fear God. He didn't care about God or people. I mean, he knows it. He says, I don't care about God and I don't care about people. So he says it in this verse. But at the same time, he said, I want to get rid of this woman. I don't fear God. I don't fear people. But gosh, I want to get rid of her. Get rid of her. And so what we see here is that she is really making a pest of herself. By relentlessly coming, she is making a pest of herself to this judge. Right? It's clearly what's happening. Now, here's the interesting thing. There's a couple of words here that are really insightful. So you have this judge, and picture this story. You know, remember, Jesus is at the coffee table or at the kitchen table, and he's telling you this. Understand, here's this judge. He didn't care about God. He didn't care about people. But this woman's driving me crazy. All right? I need to get rid of her. Because what? She's bothering me. Now, the word there, bothering, and here's what it literally means. It means like a striking, you know, just a striking. Bothering, a striking, a beating, you know, just kind of hammering away. And it also has a meaning like an effort, like labor, resulting in weariness. Okay, just a beating, a striking, a effort that's just resulting in weariness, okay? She is persistent. She is persistent in this thing. So we see this woman is relentless. Is she not? Is she not? Is she relentless? Yeah, she's showing up and she's going, I am come and am here. You know, I bet every morning he opens up the door. Ah, geez, she's in front of the line. I am come, I am here. All right? And so she said, he is bothering me, but it's like this constant striking, this beating, and this weariness. Where is it? Weariness. And so what he says, she keeps bothering me. She keeps bothering me. So I'm going to give her justice because she keeps bothering me. Then he says this, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. The word beat, okay? I mean, it's amazing. The word beat and how it's used, it means beat somebody's face black and blue. I mean, you kind of lose something in the English translation here. It means like beat somebody's face black and blue, or it can mean to give someone a black eye. Okay, he said, man, it's just like she's beating my face black and blue. And not only that, and sometimes it's used in the connection, it's damaging my reputation. You've heard it before. Oh, man, that went wrong. That gave me a real black eye. See, it damaged the reputation. So he said, this woman is giving me a real black eye. What tells me here, too, when she shows up and says, I am come and I'm here, everybody knows she's there. Everybody knew she'd come, she came, and everybody knew she is there, and she's telling everybody, I'm going to the judge. And he's going, oh my gosh, she's giving me a black. I'm starting to look bad. I'm starting to look bad in this whole thing. And he says, so I'm going to do, the only thing I know to do is just give her what she asked. Because not only is she relentless, she's bold and irritatingly determined. Amen? Is she not? She is irritatingly determined. This guy is tired. Now, he's unjust. He didn't care about anybody. But it's like, oh, my gosh. She's making my life miserable. And so I'm going to answer her to get rid of her. So that's what the only way the judge knows how to get rid of her is to give her what she asked. Amen? That's what the story. We're at the coffee. Jesus at the kitchen table. He's just telling your story. You go, really? And then Jesus says this. At the kitchen table, he tells you this story. And he says, oh, my goodness, really? And this is the next thing he says. He says this. Hear what the unjust judge says. That's the next words Jesus said. So interesting, Jesus calls attention to what the unjust judge said. So he's making a real point about how the unjust judge received this, what he felt, and what he communicated, and what he said. So the focus is on him right now. The focus is on him. So again, what is he telling us about? About prayer, about going to the Father, about praying to God the Father. But he says, now listen to what this unjust judge says. And because the widow continued to weary him with her constant, relentless request, he said he would answer her. That's what the unjust judge said. I mean, he answered her. If you put it in a prayer, he answered her prayer to get rid of her, but nonetheless, he answered her because she was relentless and because she was determined. And the lesson, what's the lesson? We ought always to pray and not lose heart. That's how it starts out. And we are to pray like the woman with relentless persistence. Amen? We're at the kitchen table. It says, that's what I want you to do. And it's powerful. That's what it says in James. This is great power working. This is great power working. Always pray. Never give up. Never give up. Now, so since he says this about the unjust judge, so we have the picture. We're at the kitchen. Here's the picture. He's let us know what's going on. Now he flips it and turns and gives us a little contrast. So we have the visual of the unjust judge, and we have the visual of the persistence and being irritatingly determined, all right? So we have the picture, and then he says this. Then Jesus draws a contrast. He said, if this is true of the unjust judge, how do you think it impacts God the Father to his children? Now make a comparison. This is what happens to the unjust judge, but now look at what God would do for his children. And we'll make this contrast. Now look up here. Have an overhead here. Look at Luke 18:7. So here's the kind. And will not God give justice to his elect? Now, who are his elect? Those who have accepted Christ as their Savior. Okay, that's the elect. We became elect by accepting Christ, okay? And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night. If that unjust judge will do it for that relentless, determined widow, how much more will God the Father do it to his children who cry out for him day and night? In the evil sense, the judge did it, but in the glory of God's sense, he will more so do it for us. You ought always to pray and never give up, because he is going to answer it. Is that what that says? That's what that says. Now, and if you're like me, you go, gosh, I don't know. I think there's a few prayers I've prayed that didn't get answered, and I'm praying some, and I don't know if they'll ever be answered. And then I don't. But he's, no, you don't understand what's going on. This is what I'm telling you. You go before the Lord, your persistence, relentless, crying out to him day and night, he will answer you. That's what he's saying. He will. And when you read it, there's no caveats. Like, well, maybe. Well, if you do this, you know, if you know that, no. He said, I will answer you. I will answer you. So we have to take that truth. As Jesus is talking to us at the kitchen table, he says, this is the truth. And this is power working. The prayer of a righteous man is power working. And so he's telling us that so we'll have an understanding as believers. Do we need that? Do we need that? Hallelujah. We need it in every aspect of our life. And so he's telling us this truth. So to have this focus, what is our mind focused on? Christ. We're focused totally on God. We're totally focused on God. And knowing that the answer to this is going to come from a move of God. Not us, but a move of God. So we're putting all our focus on him. Is God happy about that or not happy about that? He is happy about it because our focus is on him. And when our focus is on him, what happens? He starts speaking to us and showing us things, and we can even pray with more intensity and with more knowledge, because he'll reveal more things to us on how we should pray. And each time we pray on that, pray that way, then God reveals more things to us on how we should pray as we move forward in that. And then all of a sudden we see the power of God working in a supernatural way, the way he meant it to be. And what he's saying here, is this some unusual event for some special high-ranking Christians? If there is such a thing. No, this is normal Christianity. This is normal. See, he's at the kitchen table. No, this is what it's supposed to be. This is normal Christianity, the way it's supposed to be. I just need you to come to me. See, when that woman went before that judge, you know, and she said, I am come and am here. I just love that. Oh, no, I am come and I am here. You know, the focus was on him, and he saw her. I mean, he couldn't help but see her, because I am come and am here. So there's a connection. And Jesus is saying, go before the Father and say, I am come and I am here. He goes, I see you, we see him. That's what he's saying. Go before the Father. I am come and I am here. And God says, I will answer you. Those that pray to me day and night. Those that pray to me day and night. And so it's a powerful section when we look here. And so, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? God will do more than the unjust judge. So that's why we're encouraged to pray. All right? And what is prayer? What James says? It's great power working. It's great power working. So here's the whole connection of our connection with God. Amen? That's a reality of heaven coming to earth and working through the earth, through his people. And that's the way it's supposed to be. That's what's supposed to be happening with the church. Now this is fascinating when you look at it, because what he's going to tell us, that God will answer our prayer right on time. Right on time. Look what the second part of that verse says, 18:7b. And I put the New Century Version there because it's a little paraphrase, but it gets the point across the good. And he's going to answer us right on time, because in Luke 18:7, the second part, it says, he will not be slow to answer them. Now, I'm going to ask you a rhetorical question. You don't have to respond. How many think God's slow? I mean, I'll answer for you. I said, he's just a snail pace answering some stuff I ask him. I said, come on, Lord. I mean, I shouldn't tell you this, but I do that in the morning. I said, God, come on, what are you doing? You know, and I think, you know, this is consistent with what you're saying. It's like, Lord, what are you doing? But he says he's right on time. Because what he says in the next verse, I don't have an overhead here because I just couldn't write it down. He says this, Jesus, we're at the kitchen table, and Jesus says, I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. I mean, how many of you here, like again, you believe the Lord Jesus Christ paid the penalty for your sins? Amen? Why do you believe that? Because the Bible told you. Amen? He said he will give you justice speedily. He said to hear. If you believe that, you got to believe this. Amen? You got to. Well, I don't believe this. Well, I don't know if you're so sure your God's sins are forgiven. Because he said both of them. You can't pick or choose, right? So he says, I tell you, I'll give you just speedily. What he means, it's right on time. It's right on time. You know, I've seen so many things in my life where it's like, okay, it's all over, we're done. And then it's just like, by the hair of my chin, you just make it through. You go, oh man, I can't believe I made it. You know, well, he's right on time. I was just real nervous about it, you know. And you know, we've talked about things in this church and this land, the building. I've shared stuff with. It's like, oh, this ain't gonna work out. It's not. And you come up and you say, this is not gonna work out. And then at the last second, something unbelievable, miracle, and you go, wow. I can't believe that. It was right on time, but it was so stinking close. I was about to have heart failure, you know. It's like. Come on. You know, it's kind of like you ever make a, so you go on a trip, so you buy an airplane ticket, but you can't get the boarding pass until 24 hours. So you got the ticket, but you're waiting for the boarding pass. And that's when God said, I got this taken care of. I said, God, I don't have the boarding pass. I know you said I got the ticket, but I don't have the boarding pass. I want the boarding pass. Nope, 24 hours. Then you get it. What if something happens? You know, I give you a boarding pass, 24 hours. You know, but the whole 2 months before the trip, I'm threatened. I'm losing weight, not eating well, you know, because I don't have my boarding pass. See, it's something like that. It's something like that. What if your child comes up and is 13-year-old and says, Dad, Mom, you buy me a car? Well, again, yes, I will. Okay? When are you going to get that car? Now, you said yes. When are you going to get it? When you're 16. Now, he asks you when he's 13, you know, isn't that? He's, you know, and you may not even say, yeah, I get it for you. When? When you're ready. Now, you know he's 16. You know, he'd like to have it 13, shine it up, and, you know, take care of it for 3 years. Can't use it. You know, that's what I want to do. And I know when I'm 16, I could get in that sucker and drive, you know, but I want to clean it for 3 years so I know it's there. He goes, no, you're not getting it. Until you're 16. So it's something like those are poor illustrations, but is what God does. Because when you pray, so I'm going to give it to you speedily. You know, like speedily. I've been planning this trip for 3 months, and speedily, 24 hours before I get the boarding pass. Oh, gosh. You know, so what he's going to do is speedily. You know, it's like you're waiting for a train. You know, you go, they're going to get a ticket. And the train stops, guy hands up, here's your ticket. You get in. It's, good grief. I'd like to have that 2 months ago. I wouldn't have to worry about it. See, God is saying, who are you trusting? Who are you trusting? You know, oh, my planning and my ingenuity. And it's like, I don't know, but that's not working well with me. It's just not. All right? But God says, no, you trust in me, and I'll take care of it. You listen to me, and I'll take care of it. And so this is what it says. I tell you, Jesus, I tell you, he'll do this speedily. And so what you also see when you pray, like maybe you're praying for a person. You say, okay, God, I'm just praying. And the Lord's laying on your heart to pray for this person. And they're just tanking. You know, and you're just praying. And they're just tanking. You're just praying, Lord, why aren't you answering me? And you go, well, I'll give you the ticket speedily. When it is time for you to receive it, but also you got somebody else working. And when it's time for them to receive it, well, he's working with them. See, they're not ready for it. God, give me the money to buy them a car. They're not ready for the car. They want it too, but they're not ready. You may be ready to give it, but they're not ready to receive it. So they're not where they are. So you're still praying. God, you're so slow. He goes, no, I'm not. I'm on time. I am on time. You just don't know what I'm doing. See? Well, how are we supposed to operate in that kind of situation? God, how are we going to be able to survive on that kind of situation? He goes, you have faith in me. Well, and what? No, period. You have faith in me. And God says, you know, I'm really looking for people of faith, and I'm really interested in people of faith, and my desires for people of faith. And he's at the kitchen table, and he says this. The next part of the verse, he says this. And nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? That's how he ends this. That's how he ends it. The whole thing is God says, he's telling us at the kitchen table, when I come, will I find any faith? You mean talking about me? You know, talking about me? But that's what he says. So the whole deal, I'm looking for people of faith, and I'm wondering when I come back, when I return, will I find any faith? What's faith? Those that hear God, do what he says, and trust him. They trust him. So he asks the question, will I find faith? Because I will answer the prayer right on time, and it's great power working. But I have to have those people who will last, who will trust, who will not give up. That's the ones that have faith. Those are the ones who trust. They don't quit. They don't give up. Why? Because they trust in the Lord. I know I'm going to get that boarding pass. I know I am. I know. So it's the people who have faith when he comes back are the ones that know, I got that boarding pass. I know it is. Will I find any faith? You know. Because they believe what God has said and they're continually praying. It's great power working. And you say, God, that's hard. He goes, that's right, because we are a different group of people. And we talked about these next two verses 2 weeks ago. And he says, you have to totally to rely on God. You have to totally rely on God and know and don't quit. Amen? So we always pray and we do not lose heart. And look what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith. What that means is you don't get your ticket, you don't get your boarding pass 3 months before when you get your ticket. You don't get your boarding pass until 24 hours before you get your you go on your trip. That's all. That's what that means. So we have faith that we're going to get that boarding pass. We get the ticket because God told us something. Okay. But then we have to wait the 24 hours before we get the boarding pass. And that's faith, waiting for that boarding pass. Poor analogy, but that gives you some idea. He said, I'm not late. I told you something. Keep praying. Don't lose heart, all right? Because I'm right on time. Right on time. Right on time. We walk by mustard seed faith and not by sight. Because that goes to the other verse we looked at. Now again, we're still talking about faith, we're still talking about prayer, and we looked at Luke 17:6, and it says this, if you had faith, like the grain of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted to sea, it would obey you. What are you worried about? What are you worried about? Well, I'm worried it won't go like I planned. You know what the big pronoun in there is? I. It's not going to go like I planned. And God kind of whispers, he says, your plan is the issue anyway. Your plan is the issue. So it's not going to weigh you plan, so you can kind of get into my plan, and you have to trust me for it. It's by faith. It's not by sight. So if we see it, it's not faith. So what does that mean? God's going to give us tell us a bunch of things we can't see. He's going to give us a bunch of stuff we can't see. And what he's looking, he's saying, when I come back, will I find faith? Will I find people who are obedient to stuff they can't see? That's what they're saying. And so he's giving us this thing. And again, he's at the kitchen table. He's talking to us. And he's trying to build our faith up. He's trying to build our faith. Because he says, when you pray, and I give you, and so now it tells you, and we understand the picture. Look at this unjust, uncaring judge and this poor widow. And he says, good gosh, she's driving me nuts. I want to get rid of this woman. That's what he said. So I'm going to answer her. And God says, see, I'll do better than that. You just come to me, Dana. And you know I'll do better than that unjust judge. See, believe what I tell you. Continue to pray about it. And do not lose heart, because at exactly the right time, I will answer. Amen? Amen? There was I always love to talk about this old couple I knew, the Millikans, missionaries in 50 years. And I mean, gosh, they went to be the Lord 30 years ago, I guess. And so in the Congo, and I mean, I've never seen anybody like a prayer. I've never seen anybody like a prayer life like that. And so, oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Just pray. Just ask God. He's not worried about it, but I'm not worried. I'm worrying about it. You know, just pray. And he would say, right here, he said, listen, God's so slow. He's never late. That's what he tells me. He'd always tell me, he's so slow, but he's never late. He's never late. We were in a financial situation one time. It wasn't bad, but at the time you thought it was terrible. And it says, oh, gosh, I don't know how we're going to do this. And he says, well, the Lord says, I've never seen my people begging bread. So you're okay. Oh. I mean, it's, and it all worked out. It just, you know, I mean, it's like, yeah. But I mean, it was a lot of fun worrying about it till it came, you know, as you got habit pattern. But he was totally unflappable, you know, because you'd go. And you'd say, look what happened. Oh, you say, oh, wow, what an opportunity for God. Oh, that's what I was thinking. That's what, yeah. It was just, but he was so immersed in what the Lord was saying, okay, and his whole attitude changed. His whole attitude when you talked to him was different, you know, because he knew, always praying, and he always knew God was right on time. He's right. So take this, I mean, this is Jesus at your kitchen table. This is Jesus telling you this word. This is a word to you in your situation, whatever it is. Whatever it is. It reminds me, too, because we always think our situation is worse, don't you? I mean, y'all got situations, but I got worse situations personally. You know, you always think your situations are worse. And I remember I was talking to Pastor Milliken again, and I just told him, this is the worst situation I could think of. I was just telling him how bad it was. I said, oh, my. He always said, oh, my. Oh, my. He said, isn't Satan busy? Yeah. You know, he says, greater he who's in you than he's in the world. What an opportunity. Okay, here we go again. We get, God, you got this, you know. I save you, you know, you're going to take care of it. But I never could make him as worried as I was. I just couldn't do it. You know. He just believed God was going to work everything out. He's going to work everything out, you know. And which he did. Amen? So this is what this, and it's to us. Jesus is at your kitchen table, and he's talking to you. Don't worry about it. You know, I don't know what's, he said, you'll get the boarding pass. It's all right. You'll get the boarding pass. You know, that's what he's saying. Amen? Hallelujah. And then here's the thing. We all know, by the way, when James says the prayer of a righteous person is great power working. Don't you just love that? The prayer is great power working. That we know we are righteous because we've trusted Christ. And I love 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says this, you know, God made him who had no sin to be sin. He made Jesus to be sin so that in him we might be the righteousness of God. He became our sin. We became his righteousness. Prayer, therefore, I'm a righteous person. And the prayer of a righteous person is the power of God working because of what Jesus did, because he became my sin. Amen? Hallelujah. So he's at the kitchen table, and he reaches over into the guys. He grabs your collar, and he shakes you. Know who you are. All right? And to the ladies, he'll lean over, and he'll pat your hand, say, I know who you are, because you're great power working. Don't give up. Always pray. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I think, won't we just stand, and we'll sing a few praise songs. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. And Lord, we just look at this and we want to think that you love us so much. You just want us to understand who we are. We want us to understand we can boldly come before your throne. And we want us to understand that you hear us. You hear us. First John says you hear us. And therefore we know you hear us. Then we know we have what we ask because you hear us. And so, Lord, let us not give up because God's working out everything and it's going to come just at the right time. Just at the right time. So, God, we give you thanks. We give you praise. We give all thanks to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.